Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello, friends, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Truth today. We are in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 12 and 13. The title of today's teaching is Back to Work. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." A recent Wall Street Journal article stated that an estimated 26 million U.S. businesses are currently low or even absent of employees. Approximately 1.6 million businesses, from barbershops to restaurants, closed their doors for good during the COVID-19 pandemic. Those businesses that survived have found it challenging to lure people back to work after 2 years of government subsidies and entitlement payouts. I personally believe it's time for able-bodied, young, and middle-aged Americans to get back to work in order for our economy to thrive once again. But you know, something similar can happen in the life of a Christian. Perhaps because of sin or an offense that has happened, or simply growing weary or getting distracted by the cares of the world. Whatever it is, some reason, a person's walk with the Lord and their work for the Lord begin to wane. This message today is intended to help that Christian to renew his or her walk with the Lord and to get back to work for Him. Let's look first of all at the first way to do this, to get back to work for God, and that is to get strong. The Bible says again there in verse 12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." So we have hanging hands and knocking knees. Now, a successful athlete, whether that is in running or boxing, baseball, whatever sport it is, a successful athlete knows the importance of body language and proper posture. You know your opponent is about to lose when you see his shoulders begin to slump and the hands begin to drop. Maybe they put their hands on their knees and their legs begin to get wobbly. Those are sure signs of fatigue. Now, in a spiritual sense, that's what can happen to a defeated, downtrodden, discouraged Christian. Now, here are some sure signs of a weak and weary Christian. How do you know whether you're weak and weary in your walk with the Lord? Well, number one, your prayer life and your Bible time are practically non-existent, where before you spent time in prayer and reading your Bible, you don't hardly do that much anymore. That's a sure sign of a weak and weary Christian. Number two, you have little or no desire to share Jesus with family and friends. You never share a testimony. You're not concerned for their eternal destiny. Number three, your church attendance has fallen off. And then when you do happen to go to church, you get very little out of it. You don't really enjoy the music, the fellowship, the preaching. You just don't seem to get out of it what you used to. Number four, a gospel song or a testimony doesn't stir your heart like it used to. You can hear a song, you can hear a soul-stirring testimony, and it doesn't really have much effect on you. That's a sure sign of a weak and weary Christian. And then number five, you have no interest in participating in God's work, whether that's through giving, serving, or praying. You're just not really concerned about God's work. You're more concerned with what's going on in your own personal life. And as far as God's work moving forward, that's really not much concern. Those are some sure signs of a weak and weary Christian. Now, if one or more of those things that I mentioned describe you, you're a weak and weary Christian. Now, that's the bad news, but let me give you two pieces of good news. Number one, we've all been there. If you have been saved for any length of time, you know there are times when your walk with the Lord is not as strong as it could be, or maybe as it once was. The second piece of good news is that you can actually do something about it. You don't have to stay in that way. Now, what can you do about it? Well, Hebrews chapter 12 gives us some tips. First of all, we need to consider our cheering section. You know, everyone performs better when you're being cheered on. If you're at a ball game, you like to have the fans, you know, to cheer on and encourage. Well, so to speak, we have that in the Christian life. Listen to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Now, who is that? Well, from the previous chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, you have several Old Testament saints mentioned there, Abram and Sarah and many others. These are believers who have gone on before us. Think about the apostles, Peter, James, and John. Those are clouds of witnesses. And then maybe even more recent, maybe a grandmother, grandfather, mom, or dad. These are folks that even though we may not hear them, maybe they're gone. They're not in our lives personally, but they're cheering us on. Now, whether they're sitting in the bleachers in heaven looking over the portals and down here on earth, I sort of doubt that's the case. But it's a reminder to us that, hey, they could live the Christian life. They could sustain it. I can do the same thing, all right? So remember, you've got a cheering section. Number two, remove all obstacles that might be hindering your walk. Chapter 12, verse 1 continues. And let us lay aside every weight. Now, it's hard to perform well if you have obstacles weighing you down, if there's problems on the playing field. You know, in baseball, you have a grounds crew that makes sure that there are no pebbles and everything is a smooth surface. In basketball, you'll have people that go out and sweep the dust off the floor. And if there's any perspiration or anything, they wipe it off. You want to make sure the obstacles aren't there so that you can be most effective in the game. Now, what does that mean to remove all obstacles? Well, I think there are some certain obstacles that hinder our walk with the Lord. One of those obstacles is busyness. You know, I've heard that so many times as a pastor, where folks will say, I'm just too busy to go to church, too busy to serve God. I'd like to, Pastor, but I'm just too busy. Well, you know, in a way, that's an insult to the rest of us who are actually attending church and are serving God as if you're the only one that's busy. The truth is, we're all busy. It really comes down to priorities. What are you busy with? We can pretty much decide what we are busy with. We all have obligations of work and paying our bills, but you're either going to be busy for you or you're going to be busy for God. And you know, I think that we can balance that. So sometimes busyness is an obstacle. Number two, selfishness. The idea that my time, my energy, that's for me. Well, I can't go to church on Sunday because that's my only day off. That's my time. Well, you know, there's going to come a time when maybe you will have wished that you gave God more time than you did. But we could all say that, you know, that's my time. Well, what about God's time? And the third one is carelessness. That is an apathetic, half-hearted attitude about prayer, about Bible study, again, church attendance, witnessing, serving, giving. It's doing it just kind of half-heartedly. You know, in the area of giving, let me give you an example. That ought to be something that you think about and that is already planned ahead in your budget. You shouldn't just tip God. Well, here's a little bit that I have left over. I guess I'll help God out here. No, it should be something that has a strategy behind it. Same thing in our serving, same thing in our Bible study, our prayer life. And so carelessness is another obstacle that will hinder our walk with the Lord. The third thing we see in chapter 12 and verse 1 that we should do is confess sin. Chapter 12, verse 1 continues, let us lay aside every weight, those are the obstacles, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That besetting sin, what is that? It's that one thing, usually it's one, it may be a couple things, but one thing that really gets you off track quicker than anything else. It's that thing, and you know what it is, we all do. If you don't, the devil knows it, and so you would be wise to know what it is. It's different for different people. For instance, for some people, that besetting sin is greed. And so every bit of energy and every bit of thought goes toward how can I make more money and get more things. For someone else, it may be lust, whether that's for the opposite sex or, again, it could be lust for money. But it's a driving force. Gossip. You know, talking about other people and tale-bearing, that's a sin. Maybe a harmful substance, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, something that you know really is not good for you, and that is something that you need to let go of. What do you do? Well, it says lay that aside. What does that mean? It means confess it. Confession is agreement with God. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, don't take that for granted. don't confess your sin on Sunday and then turn around and pick it right back up on Monday. That you've not really forsaken it. Confession means I'm agreeing with God that I need to ask forgiveness, and I need to forsake that and need to move in another direction. And then another thing is to get strength for this day. Get strength for this day. Now, again, verse 1 says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice that, run with patience. Beloved, the Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You won't be super Christian in a week. In fact, as you grow in the Lord and you come to know Him more, you realize that you must even depend upon Him more. You don't become a more super Christian. In fact, you become more reliant upon the Lord. In fact, Paul, as you find him later in years, Paul got to the point where he said, of all sinners, I am chief. I'm at the top of the line. Paul knew the importance of realizing that it was only in his weakness that he was strong, because that's when he depended most upon the Lord. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. This is the Lord speaking to Paul. For my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. Now Paul responds and says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, those things that are hard for me to deal with, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Not my power, but the power of Christ. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, that's a hard place to get in your walk with the Lord. You take pleasure in infirmities and problems and troubles. That's what he says. I take pleasure in that, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. That's not a natural response. That's a supernatural response. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, an unsaved person can't understand what he means by that. What he means is that when I get emptied of myself and realize that I can't do this in my own power, that's when my strength comes from the Lord. He continues in verse 11 and says, I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. He says, I'm not anything. It's not about me. It's always about Christ. And then the next thing that you can do is focus on the finish line. Back to our text there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If your eyes are on yourself or your eyes are on other people, I guarantee you, you'll get heavy-handed and knock-kneed in your walk with the Lord. It's easy to do. You know, if you've been in church for a long period of time, people will let you down. You'll get disillusioned. You'll let yourself down. And many times when your eyes are on self, your eyes are on other people, that hinders your walk with the Lord. But that's not the finish line. Ourselves and other people, that's not what we're aiming for. We're looking at Jesus. He is the author and finisher. That means he's the beginning and the end in regards to our faith. You know, just as a runner stays focused on the tape at the finish line, a successful runner doesn't look to the side, right or left or anything else. He or she is looking directly at that finish line, at the tape. I want to cross the line. That's how we finish well. The Christian must stay focused on Jesus. That's why Paul said, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And so the first thing to do is to get strong when you're dealing with trials and troubles in this life, or maybe your walk with the Lord is not what it could be. The second thing we're going to see is to get straight. Get strong and then get straight. Listen to verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, what's that talking about? Well, let me give you an illustration. Earlier in the week, I had someone come out and clean the carpet at our church in Waltonville. And this gentleman, after he had cleaned the carpet, he said, I noticed there were some worn spots between the pews where people have walked repeatedly. And, you know, I thought that's a great thing. Thank God for the paths between the pews. You know, if there were no worn paths between the pews, that means nobody's coming and sitting down and moving. So that's a great thing. You know, sometimes we'll joke about people sitting in the same spots, you know, in church. Having pastored two churches, you know, I'm used to seeing certain people in their spots. Sometimes they'll be in the same spot for 30 or 40 years, and you're used to seeing them there. But, you know, as humorous as that is, it's also a good thing, because that means that you're someone who is consistent. You're making straight paths, not only between the pews, but in your life. If you're making straight paths between the pews, then your life is probably going to be on a straight course as well. Now, what do we know about paths? Well, two things I want to share from verse 13 in regards to these paths. First of all, paths are for helping. Again, verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet. You know, you want a clear path for walking. If you've ever gone hiking or walking in an area, especially an area that you are unfamiliar with, you're grateful for the paths that have been cleared out before you, so you stay on the right path and that you don't get tripped up. We have several times gone down to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, Pigeon Forge, that area in the Smoky Mountains. We enjoy that, and we've gone hiking in some of those paths there. And as long as you stay on the path, you're okay. But, you know, you don't want to veer off the path. If you do that, you might end up lost. You could get tripped up. And so you want to stay on the path. Now, here's the thing. You and I are blazing a path for those who are coming behind us. You know, I've always said that the Christian life, we're not living it just for ourselves. We are living it for the next generation, your children, your grandchildren. You're blazing a path for them. If you are a Sunday school teacher, you're blazing a path for those young people that you are teaching. If you work maybe in a bus ministry, same thing. We are path blazers. We're clearing a path. Now, if our path is not straight, theirs won't be either. That's why he says there, and make straight paths for your feet. And so we must make sure that our paths are straight in our walk with the Lord, because those who are coming behind us, if our path is not straight, if we're hit and miss and we're not really consistent, it's going to affect those who are coming behind us. That's what the next part of the verse means that says, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Lame there means that which is weak or vulnerable. We could say young, be turned out of the way. In other words, mom and dad, you have a great responsibility to blaze a straight path for your children in regards to the things of God, because if you're not consistent, they're not going to be. And so they might get off track in their life because of the effect that you had. And so paths are for helping, not just us, but those who are coming on behind us. And then the last thing I see in verse 13 is that paths are for healing. He says there in verse 13, but let it rather be healed. You know, sometimes there are relationships that need to be healed. Maybe your fellowship with God needs to be healed. There is a difference between relationship and fellowship with God. Relationship is a permanent matter. If you're a child of God, I believe the Bible teaches you are eternally secure in that relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can get out of fellowship. In fact, that's what the previous verses in Hebrews chapter 12 are all about. When we get out of fellowship with God, he sometimes will bring correction and chastisement. But then there's time for healing. Maybe there's a relationship that you need to heal. Maybe it's among spouses. Maybe it's with children. Maybe it's with someone at work. You know the old saying, just as hurting people hurt people, healed people heal people. If someone is a person who is hurting, they've been hurt before, they will hurt others emotionally. But if you are a healed person, you learn to heal other people as well. You know, you might have to take the initiative in this. Maybe it's a phone call that needs to be made. A letter needs to be written. A text needs to be sent out. Whatever it is, but do it. And when you do that, you're helping to keep your path straight in regards to your walk with the Lord. And listen, we can't have a good walk with the Lord and be out of fellowship with people. Does that mean people are always going to like you and you're always going to be in agreement and get along? No, not necessarily. But I think to the best of our ability, the Bible says that we should. In fact, the next verse says that, follow peace with all men. We should do our best to do that. Listen, here in 2022, This is no time for slouched over, slump-shouldered, weak-kneed Christians. We need trailblazing, path-making Christians that will get back to work for God and finish their walk with the Lord with joy and excellence. If we will do that, we can see the work of the Lord not be hindered, but to be helped and to move forward. And I think that's what the Lord would have us to do. Well, I appreciate you listening. As we get ready to conclude the broadcast, I want to thank all of those who listen faithfully every week. Don't forget, we are now making this teaching available on the Bible Truth Podcast. If you listen to various podcasts, and there are a lot of different podcast carriers that you can find on your phone, your tablet, whether that is iTunes or Podcast Addict, there's several of them. If you have a favorite one, iHeartRadio is another one. You can search Bible Truth Podcast Tim Reynolds, and you will find all of our Sunday morning teachings on the radio, as well as our services. We are also beginning to make available prophecy updates, Christian news. We're planning to add interviews. We're still just on the ground level of our podcast ministry. But what we hear on the radio is now available also on the podcast, which means you're not locked in to a certain time. But when you're maybe cleaning house, running errands, you're taking a walk, mowing the yard, you can tune into the Bible Truth Podcast and listen at your convenience. We're really excited about that. And so I encourage you to download the Bible Truth Podcast and listen to it at your convenience. Tell others about that also, if you would. And then we also want to give you a personal invitation to one of our churches. First of all, Mount Vernon Baptist Temple. We're located at 817 Woodland Drive, just off of Route 37 South in Mount Vernon. Sunday school hour begins at 9 o'clock. We have classes for all ages. We also have a bus that will go out and pick people up and bring them to church, as well as a handicap bus for those with wheelchairs and walkers. At 10 o'clock, we have morning worship, and I'll be preaching in that service. And then 6 o'clock, Sunday night service, and Wednesday night Bible study at 6 p.m. as well. You can find us online at MountVernonBaptistTemple.com. You can also find us on Facebook, where we have our Facebook Live, where you can actually watch our services online. And you can call us at 618-244-5404. And then at Waltonville Community Church, we're located at 321 South Hiron Street, just across from the Waltonville Cafe in Waltonville, Illinois. We begin our morning services at 11:15 every Sunday morning. And you'll enjoy the fellowship of the people out at Waltonville Community Church. You can find us on the internet at waltonvillecommunitychurch.com. We also have a Facebook page where you can find us and more information there. And you can call or text 618-315-1111. We also have a bus that will pick folks up out in the Waltonville area if you would like a ride to church. Last thing I'd like to mention is I want to thank all of those who financially support the Bible Truth Broadcast and Podcast Ministries. We would not be able to go on every week and do this were it not for the free will offerings of God's people. Now, we always say, don't take your tithes and offerings from your local church. That's for your church ministry. But if you're looking to support a ministry and you appreciate the truths of God's word being preached, being taught, we ask you to consider the Bible Truth Broadcast as a ministry to support. Any gift that you send goes directly to pay for the radio airtime, and you can do that by writing to us at Bible Truth Broadcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. You can include your best gift, maybe a note if you want to include a prayer request, maybe a Bible question or topic that you would like to hear covered. We invite you to do that as well. And we certainly appreciate that. You can listen to the announcer at the end of the broadcast and he'll repeat that information again. But thank all of you who help us by listening. You pray for us, you give financially, and it sincerely is appreciated, and I want you to know that. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today, and I'm looking forward to being with you again next Sunday. And until that time, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.